Hey, we're gonna call this meeting to order. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. We'll have a roll call of membership, please.
Commissioner Chavez.
Here.
Clements. Barker.
Here.
Cisneros.
Here.
Chairman Nord.
Here. Just should be noted that John Clements is out of town this week, or this day anyway, and there's an excused absence for him, so. We have a public comment period at this time, and that public comment period is for the purpose of those of you in the audience speaking to something that is not on the agenda but is under the jurisdiction of this commission. You probably know what's on the agenda. I suspect that's why you're here this evening. So if it's on the agenda, you'll be given a chance later to speak to that. But if there's something else that you would like to speak to the commission about, now is your chance. Please come to the podium, give your name and address for the record, and tell us what's on your heart. Don't all speak at once here. Okay, thank you very much. While I have you as a captive audience, I should note to you that this commission is an advisory body to the city council. This commission is made up of 5 members, the 4 of us seated here, plus John Clements. We are an unpaid commission. We do not receive any pay in any form. And so just spread that around. A lot of people don't know that. They think we're well paid, and we are, just by the privilege of living in Reedley. From time to time, there are openings on this commission, and we hope that good people will keep in mind the possibility of helping out on the commission. Being the forward person that I am, I always encourage people who are one-issue people not to try to get on the commission. It's more of a nuisance than good. But if you're thinking of the general welfare of our town and you're interested in how things happen and want to be involved overall, it's an interesting place to sit once a month, sometimes twice a month. But we are advisory to the council, so any decisions that we make are normally simply that, advisory. We study very carefully and learn as much as we can and give them the best advice we can. Normally they follow it, sometimes they don't. When they don't, sometimes we call them on it, and sometimes we leave it alone too. So anyway, that's enough of my comments for now. We have under the consent agenda 3 items this evening, and it is minutes from the meeting of the November 5th, December 3rd, and a building report for the month of November 2009. Commission members, are there any corrections or additions to, we'll take these one at a time, so to the November 5 minutes of this commission. Okay, hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve those as written.
I'll move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We get a second from Jason. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Cisneros?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. And the minutes of the December 3rd meeting, likewise. Any corrections or additions?
Move to approve.
A motion from Al. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I believe your consent agenda can go with the first vote.
Can it go all with one?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, well, we're moving on, so we'll just do it separately this time. Let's see. Call for the roll call, please, on number 2.
Who did the first on that?
Al's got the.
Al. Cisneros. And then the second one, please.
Me.
Second was.
Barker.
To Barker.
Commissioner Cisneros.
Yes.
Barker.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Chairman Nord.
Yes. Mr. Berletic, anything unusual on that building report we should note there? We've seen it, but sometimes there are things.
Nothing unusual. It's somewhat healthy given the current economic situation.
Economic
we have 72 fund. New home starts for or 78 new home starts for the year through November, which is somewhat healthy. 32 unit of multifamily in 2 buildings, and that's about it.
Great. Okay. Is there a motion for approval on that?
Move to approve.
Second.
A second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Barker?
Yes.
Cisneros?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. And I will note for the public, too, that these minutes are on the city website. In case you haven't been on the city website recently, you should do that now and then. I believe also for the council itself, are they on the website also?
That's correct.
So you can get the minutes of past meetings as well as agendas for the meeting of the current time. So just for your interest. Okay, under public hearings number four, we have a new Catholic Church project asking for a variance and a conditional use permit. We have a staff report, and then we will have a public hearing on that, which time you'll be able to speak.
Assistant Planner Rob Terry will give the staff report.
Okay.
Chairman Nord, commissioners. So today we have item number four. I'm going to wait for our overhead projector to start up here. For a new Catholic church project, consider a request of the Roman Catholic Bishop of Fresno for variance.
Rob, can you use the microphone?
Do we have one?
It'll have to be at the podium.
Do that.
Today on item four, we will be looking at a new Catholic Church project, which includes a variance number 2009-1 by resolution number 2010-1 and a conditional use permit number 453 by resolution number 2010-2. This is to consider a request of the Roman Catholic Bishop of Fresno for a variance from the building height requirement of the R16 zone district of 35 feet and a variance from the parking requirement to provide compact parking stalls and also a conditional use permit to construct a new church at 1018 North Frankwood Avenue, which is APN 363-16001. There are two applications, as mentioned, that are going to go along with this project. The first being 4A, variance number 2009-1, followed by 4B, which is conditional use permit number 453. As mentioned, we will be considering the variance from the building height requirement in the R16 zone district of 35 feet, a variance from the parking requirements to provide compact stalls and the rear and front yard setbacks. We'll also be considering a conditional use permit to construct a new church at 1018 North Frankwood Avenue. Item 4A, variance number 2009-1. The first item is compact parking. Interest in compact parking stalls is becoming more commonplace, something that city staff is receiving more and more feedback on. Adequate parking is proposed to be developed with each phase of this site. However, the applicant has also brought forth the interest in providing some compact parking stalls, something that the city does not currently discuss in our municipal code. However, staff does anticipate that a compact parking stall recommendation will be delivered to the Planning Commission and to the City Council in 2010. So compact parking is something that staff is aware of and something that we are working on and supportive of. The next item is building height. The proposed building height is 54 feet. The maximum in the R16 zone where this development is being proposed is 35 feet because it is a residential zone. The area where the 54 feet will be located is centrally located on the site and so does not look overbearing. Other structures within the vicinity are taller than your standard single-family dwellings, meaning they do exceed 35 feet. Throughout the area, even though the area is an R16 zone. The existing general plan designation and zoning, it is currently medium density residential and zoned R16. The current land use is vacant. Churches are a conditional use in the R16 zone district, which is the reason why the applicant will be seeking a conditional use permit tonight as well. The project includes the conditional use permit number 453, and included in that are four different phases of construction. As you can see on the screen, ranging from phase one, the construction of 11,193 square feet of building, allowing for 795 occupants and 159 parking stalls. Phase two is 3,970 square feet, allowing for 178 occupants and 36 parking stalls. Phase three is 2,754 square feet, allowing for an additional 274 occupants and 49 parking stalls. And the final phase, phase four, is 4,367 square feet, with the addition of 450 occupants allowed and an additional 94 parking stalls, which brings the total to 22,284 square feet, with a total of 1,670 occupants allowed, 338 parking stalls on site. It's important to note that each phase will be required to be built with the corresponding parking and site improvements. You'll see in phase one that there are some street improvements that need to happen. And then, of course, we will see also in all four phases that the parking has to coincide. The environmental findings were found to require a mitigated negative declaration. Items touching on air quality, energy-efficient construction, pedestrian-enhancing infrastructure, and transportation and traffic were all discussed in that, and all are in the conditions of approval for mitigation measures as noted on the screen. Here's the vicinity map of the site. In the middle, you can see attached with project site on it. It lies in between Frankwood Avenue and Del Altair Avenue, just north of Manning Avenue. And here is a vicinity map just shown from an aerial, overlaid on an aerial to give a little bit of scale to what the project would look like. And this is in its final phasing. This again is just a close-up shot of the complete all phases done, showing all of the parking, all of the building, and the complete site build-out. This is a plan of phase one. The street improvements that would be required with phase one. Phase one and phase two. Phases one through three. And phases one through four, which would take it to completion. Here's a blown up floor plan of just the building itself. Elevations. And finally, the landscaping plan. Staff recommendation to the Planning Commission is that you take the following action: to certify the mitigated negative declaration of environmental impacts and approve variance number 2009-1 for a variance from the height requirement of the R16 zone district of 35 feet and a variance from the parking requirement to provide compact stalls in conjunction with conditional use permit number 453. This will be done by resolution 2010-1. Also approve the conditional use permit number 453 in conjunction with variance number 2009-1 to construct a church at 1018 North Frankwood Avenue, and this would be done by resolution 2010-2. This concludes staff's presentation. We're available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Rob. Okay, you see with that report, and we have in front of us information that really is includes pictures and drawings and whatnot of that same thing. So we are happy then to have a public hearing now to speak in favor of this. We would only ask that we don't be too repetitious. At least my gut feeling would be that most of you are here in favor of it. Maybe there are some that are against it too, I don't know. But in other words, I don't need to hear from each one of you that you're in favor of it. If you hear somebody ahead of you say something similar that you might have said, I guess you're free to applaud them when you're finished, just to show your support for that. We don't want to turn you off either. This is a public hearing, so you have that right to speak. But we want to just kind of limit our time and not go too long either. So at this time, I will open a public hearing. If there are a number of you that would like to speak, we'd like you to come over to the podium just where Rob was. And if you want to wait and be the next one or two people, maybe you can go over to the corner just so you can come up as that person finishes. We generally do limit a little amount of time here. We don't want it to go over 2 or 3 minutes unless you've got some extensive information that we need to hear. So I'll remind you of that if you get a little too wordy there. But at this time, I would open the public hearing for the first speaker, either pro or con, pro or against this project. They're drawing straws right now to see who wants to go.
We have two official delegates, him and Mark.
Great. Your name and address for the record, please.
I'm Mark Harold. I'm the project architect. And my address is 4720 North Blythe Avenue in Fresno, 93722.
Thank you.
Here again, I'm Mark Harold. I'm the project architect on this project. And I've worked with the majority of the people in here. They all look familiar. But I'm available for any questions that you may have or to help you understand the design process or anything. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Good, thank you. And we may very well come back to you for some things. Someone else.
Good evening. My name is Mark Garza. I'm the capital campaign chairman for the new church, and just want to extend our appreciation to Reedley staff for assisting us through the process of bringing this project to you, and look for your support in constructing a new church for the city of Reedley. Again, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Chuck Mariscal. I live at 15430 East Parlier Avenue. I am a parishioner of St. Anthony's Church. I'm also a retired planner, was community development director for the city of Reedley for about 10, pardon me, for the city of Selma for about 10 years. I'm interested in this particular project because, as I said, I am a parishioner. I did download a copy of a staff report for this, and I did speak to your city planner, Dave, a little bit briefly today about the project. I'd like to comment that I think the staff report is pretty complete. It doesn't identify any significant adverse impacts to the community. I think the staff has done an excellent job of mitigating whatever potentially impacts, adverse impacts that there might be in terms of traffic and such to the community. I certainly think that the new church will, it has been beautifully designed, I think, and it will be an asset to the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're not opposed to hearing a little emotion from you guys, you know. I mean, some of you are probably excited about this, and while we don't necessarily want to have all 50 of you up here, a couple of you would be just fine.
Good evening. My name is Trish Johnson, and I am a parishioner at St. Anthony's. My address is 22664 Edgar in Reedley. And I was chairman of the 100th anniversary of our church currently where we attend. I think it has become very well known that we have a large group of parishioners that require a new church to be built. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind. I've been part of the design committee along with my husband, and I think it has been methodically and professionally adapted to the current needs of the parishioners of our church. Looking at the residential area there, I think it will fit in very well with the design. The height factor should not really impinge on any of the current residents there, because it fits in the design with St. LaSalle School, and the coloring and the landscaping will certainly be an addition to Frankwood Avenue. I do believe that on Sunday, when schools are not in session and whatnot, the traffic will not be a problem. My husband comes in to daily mass. I'm there on Sundays and for meetings, and I don't think that any of the problems that staff did a very good job in presenting on the part of the city of Reedley. So I would highly endorse that you recommend to the city council that we approve this project and give our conditional permit. Thank you.
Thank you. We got the next generation here.
Yes, we do. Hi, I'm Barbara Limo. My address is 1551 6th Avenue Drive, Kingsburg. I am also a parishioner of St. Anthony's and the third grade teacher. And I'm here along with my future students and my former students. And the reason why we believe we need our church is because every time we go there for a school event like Catholic Schools Week, we barely fit in there. And we kind of like drive everybody out just because we want to be there and be a sign of our belief in our faith. And so this just is a small group of the children. And for instance, on once a month, they go in and sing, and the parishioners love it. But on those particular Sundays, or Saturdays it has to be, it's too crowded. So we just really would like the space to worship and enjoy our worship with everyone. Would you guys like to say something? They're not, I didn't prompt them, so whatever they say, they say.
I think we need our new church because every Sunday, sometimes we have to stand up just to hear the people say the scriptures and all that. And we really want it because it's the one way that we get, or the second way that we get to worship God.
Okay, we have a few shy people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak?
Monsignor Esquivel, I'm the pastor of St. Anthony's, and the address is St. Anthony's Church. I just want to say thank you to the entire staff. It's been a long process, but they've been very cooperative and helpful in getting us to this point. And you heard the need at our anniversary mass that Trish Johnson referred to. At that one event, there were 3,000 people. And 2,800 went to communion, which means they were Catholic. And to accommodate that kind of crowd Sunday after Sunday, the current St. Anthony's can't do it, even with the 8 masses that we have. The church seats 200, so you're talking of 1,600. We could not accommodate the 3,000 that showed up for that one. That particular mass I'm referring to was held in the parking lot with the permission of the city, just to accommodate the huge crowd. So the need is there, and I want to again thank the staff for the city of Reedley for cooperating with us. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Are there any neighbors in the audience that live directly next to where the church will be? Any neighbors here? Okay. Just wanted to hear from them a little bit, if there was anybody. Obviously, they're not too worried about it, or they would have been here, right? Okay, anyone else want to speak before I close this? once we close it, you can only speak if you're recognized, and we don't usually do that very often. So now it's kind of your last chance. Okay, we'll close the public hearing then and turn it back to commissioners for questions of people who may have spoke from city staff. And then we'll move on to the various resolutions. So, commissioners, if you have any questions of staff on any one of the resolutions, the mitigated negative declaration, I want to make sure that you ask those kids tomorrow if they know what the word mitigated means. I could try to summarize it, but I'd probably not do a very good job. So, anything you do has an impact on others around you, on this site where you put it, and those around you. And mitigation simply means that we want to do all we can so we limit the effect on the plot of ground and that around it, noise, light, visual, all kinds of things. So mitigating usually means that we have found a way to bring it down to a level we can all live with it. So now that I've exposed myself to my limited understanding. Commissioners, any questions in relation to that mitigated negative declaration? We have that in front of us, I know, and probably you've been through it like I have. Most issues had no impact or very insignificant ones. David or Rob, were there any, there were no potentially significant impacts, were there? I don't remember
Chairman
seeing
Lord,
any.
First, I want to clarify that this project, the use permit application is final at the Planning Commission level unless
okay.
appealed.
Okay.
And then with regard to areas of mitigation, the mitigated negative declaration identified two areas of potentially significant impacts. There are air quality and traffic. With regard to air quality, the mitigation measures are standard Air Pollution Control District standard practices to mitigate any impacts on air quality, and that would be mitigated to a level of less than significant. And in the areas of traffic, there are potential impacts to Frankwood Avenue and with the intersection of Manning Avenue and Del Alter Avenue and the intersection of Manning Avenue. And to mitigate those, for Manning Avenue and Frankwood Avenue, mitigation is achieved through payment of development impact fees for traffic impacts, which is standard. And the city does have a Frankwood Avenue improvement project that is going to complete the improvements in front of the church site and the entire Frankwood Avenue corridor from Manning Avenue to the northern city limits. And then on Del Alter Avenue, the impact at the intersection of Manning and Del Alter in the future would require a traffic signalization. The project's mitigation contribution will be through a fair share to that traffic signal. It's not intended that they take access to Del Alter with phase one other than the pedestrian access. When they do take access to Del Alter Avenue with vehicles is when the improvements to Manning and Del Alter have to be in place.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that in relation to the traffic signal. Del Alter and Frankwood are relatively close to each other too, which does that cause us any major concern?
It does, and the city engineer may want to speak to that, but it's talking about traffic control, not necessarily a traffic signal.
Okay.
So the city's not committed to a signal, it's committed to traffic control. And with respect to the project itself doesn't cause all of the impact to Manning and Del Alter. There's an existing condition today. This
right.
project will have a minor additional contribution towards that, and that's their responsibility. The traffic analysis looks at the peak hour for the whole community, which is typically mornings from 7 to 8 and evenings from 5 to 6. The church does not have the same peak hour pattern. Their peak hours are going to be on Sundays, so they're kind of offset. They do have a minor impact during our normal peak hours, and there is a small obligation from the project.
Our city engineer is here. Did you want to speak to that?
Just to clarify on the point that you brought up, a very good point, that Frankwood and Del Alter are very close to each other. I think at some point when we decide what control goes needs to go in there, whether it's stop sign control or a signal, if it is a signal, I think one of the things that we will have to include along that corridor there, and it's time for the city. We're getting big enough, and it's got enough signals now that it is it warrants putting in a signal interconnect system in which we can tie all the signals in the city of Reedley together so that we can time them to keep queues moving down Manning Avenue. The purpose of traffic coordination, signalization like that, is to stop the traffic and build up a queue. And once that queue is built up, that queue should be able to proceed through the entire length of that segment of road without having to come to a stop. That's what you want to do. You want to queue cars up. That way, when the light turns red again, you've stopped the queue, and there's a break in the traffic for people crossing that street to be able to actually make that movement. So that's the purpose of a signal coordination. I think it's probably time for the city to begin to move towards that. And in fact, we do have a CMAQ project that was just awarded to the city. It'll probably be in 3 or 4 years before it's actually funded, but we do have a beginning signal interconnect system that we will be putting in down I Street, and we'll also that project will also include the central computer system here at City Hall. And eventually, what will happen is that one computer system will be able to control every signal in the city just from that one terminal. You'll be able to set timing, you'll be able to set the length of the queues and everything. At some point in the future, you can even use that system to do traffic counts at the intersection.
Is a wireless system?
We will be going with a wired system. There are wireless systems out there, but that technology is still fairly new and still has quite a few bugs in it, from my understanding. The system we are looking at, we already have some of the infrastructure in I Street when it was reconstructed several years ago. Part of that reconstruction, I believe, was to put in the conduit along the curb and gutter there, just outside the curb and gutter, which will be the actual conduit for the signal interconnect system.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other questions on the environmental impact negative declaration here? Okay, hearing none, are we ready for some action on that one? I'd entertain a motion then for something on this.
I'd like to move for approval of resolution number 2010-1.
Okay, we have a motion.
I second that.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Cisneros?
Yes.
Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Okay, then we'll move on to the second one, which is the approving a conditional use permit in relation to the construction of the church. Any discussion, questions on this one?
I move to approve the use permit.
Okay, we have a motion to approve 2010-2. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Get a second. Any further discussion? Okay, call for the roll call, please.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Barker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Next we have, let me get past here anyway. Well, let's see, what help me out here. What page am I supposed to be on, David?
Yes, it covers the variance.
You have the two, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
That's all we need is on the two on this one. Okay, I was looking for a third one there for some reason. And I would have looked forever. I guess I had two brief questions. Do you have a timeline? And what are you going to do with the old church?
We're going to save it.
Save it? Well, I was sure hoping so.
And use it also.
Yeah, good. It's a beautiful building and it's
part
really
nice.
Right, it's part of the history, so that's good.
Monsignor, I have a question there. The rectory will continue to be at the original location. Is that correct?
The current location?
Yeah, the current location. Will the new facility have those types of accommodations built into them? Or as part of it? I've kind of looked over the plan in general, but
we have no plan to build a living quarters over there now. We continue to live in what we did. It's close enough that.
Sure. Exercise.
On warmer days.
On warmer days. You walk faster on colder days. Mark, you're the money man. What's your hope for beginning a project like this?
Well, I too am an unpaid volunteer. And we're looking and soliciting volunteers to help with the campaign.
Okay.
You know, right now we're at about $900,000 that we've raised. We're looking at $2.5 million to start phase one. So we are looking at a possibility of borrowing money from the diocese. And so we've already approached Bishop Steinbach on that approach. So right now we started another phase of our campaign, and that's to solicit all of our parishioners. We have about 3,000 unregistered parishioners in our parish, so we're sending them a mailer to see how much money would be donated through that process. So our goal is to be able to raise $20,000 on average for the next 15 years. And right now we are raising between $16,000 and $20,000 a month on average. So we're hoping to maintain that. If that's the case, then we'll go ahead and borrow the money and start construction as soon as we're given the green light.
Right.
As soon as we're given the green light from council, we're looking at starting to move some dirt and you'll see some activity.
Great. Good. Very good. We applaud you,
yeah, thank you
for your hard work. You're welcome to stay for the rest of our meeting, or sometimes people get up and leave after the their part's over, and I guess I won't blame you for that. We have two other issues. We're putting up a water tower, folks. It's much higher than your steeple, so. Okay, we're going to move on then to number five, which is Sports Park Water Tower Conditional Use Permit number 454. Considering a request for a conditional use permit to construct a 162-foot high water tower at the sports park. We have a staff report. We would be glad to hear the staff report. Who's going to give it? Oh, here we go. You're ready.
That would be me. Thank you, Chairman Nord, members of the commission. I'm Darlene Mata, staff consultant to the city of Ridley. The proposed project is a conditional use permit to construct a water tower on the current sports park property. You may be familiar with this, the 8-acre site that's already been developed. This will be located to the south of that 8 acres. And the tower will be anchoring a future clover, if you will, of baseball fields. The water tower, I do need to make one clarification. The staff report stated it was 162 feet in height. The actual height of the tower will be 210 and a half feet tall. The error came from, there's, I guess, a difference of the water level, which is what I took to be the height of the tower and not the actual physical height. This was brought to our attention. We did review the matter, and we had determined that there is no significant impact as a result of the increased height due to the location at the center of the sports park, and it's adjacent to future industrial areas. There would be no impact to adjacent property owners as a result of this additional height. The area is zoned resource conservation and open space, and any development of this sort does require a conditional use permit, which is required to be approved by the Planning Commission. Staff is supportive of this project. I think you could see in the staff report, we are going to use the water tower for more than just water storage. It is being designed so it will house the concession stands, some storage facilities, and potentially the electrical equipment for the lights. We're not sure exactly what will go within that envelope below the water tower, but we are going to use it to facilitate the future development of the sports park. With that, I'm here to answer any questions you may have about the project. We look forward to getting started on this and moving forward.
Okay. Thank you. All right. It's a public hearing, by the way, so we're going to open a public hearing at this time to speak in favor or against such a tower. So I will open the public hearing at this time for anyone to speak on this issue. She's in the spirit now. She's going to speak.
My name is Jennifer Caprellian Santos. My address is 19866 East Parlier Avenue in Reedley. And my question has to do with not exactly the sports park water tower, but one that the city might be proposing as well on the corner of Parlier Avenue and Button Willow Avenue. And my question is, we had gone to one city meeting at the community center, and they had talked about that once the sports park water tower was erected, that perhaps 3 months later, the one at Parlier and Button Willow would also begin construction. And we live across the street. And so my question is more of the big picture. Is that still, to the staff, is that still part of the trend that is going to be happening?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Must be prepared to speak to that a little bit.
If you'd like, I'll go ahead and answer that question.
We welcome that.
There is a proposal to construct another water tower at the corner of Parlier and Button Willow. That project is currently in the environmental review process. Because it is directly adjacent to some residential units, we determined that an environmental impact report was required for that project in order to assess the impacts to those property owners. The process right now, it's in the notice of preparation stage. It's an initial stage of the environmental process where notices have been sent out, and we're asking for those initial comments to the proposed project. To date, I don't think we've received many. I think I've seen a couple of letters from agencies, but none from the property owners. But it is underway. I would anticipate that the environmental review process will probably take another 3 or 4 months, and then we'll be here before you with that for a decision for another conditional use permit at that time.
How wide a range is that mailed to? This notice of that mailed to?
It's mailed to property owners within 300 feet of the exterior property line of the property of which the project is proposed. If the commenter would like to receive a notice or come in and discuss or see the document that has been prepared and it is out for review, she's welcome to come to the city hall here and see that document. We have copies, and ask to be on the mailing list as well for any future notices.
And is the proposed one out there, will be the proposed one be of similar height to what we're speaking of tonight?
I believe so.
Yes. Okay. I'll make a couple of points here. Yes, at this point, all of the water towers will be at the same hydraulic gradient, high water level. As far as the timing goes, besides this Parlier Button Willow project still being in the early stages of the environmental document, we do not have construction funding for that yet. So we are still looking to find construction funding, whereas with the sports park water tower, we do have the construction funding in place. We have a grant from the EDA. So, as in relation to her question about the second water tower following within a few months afterwards. I kind of doubt that. It's probably going to be some time before we're able to find the sufficient funding to build the second water tower. But we are going through the entire process so that when that funding does become available, it will be ready to go, basically shelf ready.
Bruce, what's the, or in general, what's the cost associated with the...
To build one?
Yeah, to erect a tower like that.
We're looking at about $9 million, I think, at this point for the sports park water tower. And that's just construction.
Just construction. And so to answer this question about the Parlier and Buttonwillow, at what level of funding would you need to commence a project like that?
We would need the full construction funding. We've got the funding. We're doing that. We have the funding in place to do the design and the environmental document, get everything done up to ready to go to construction. Once we get to that point, then we will have to start looking for the full construction funding through one source or another.
Is there a secondary, for whatever reason, if this proposed site is not available, is there a secondary site that the city's identified?
I believe that notice does talk about several sites, doesn't it? Not at this point, but it will. The negative deck or the EIR will address several sites, including the no-build project. That's always a
component of that.
Yeah, it's always an alternative is the no-build project and the impacts of not building it.
Are there other?
We have talked to the college about. In the future, potentially a water tower going at the college there. They are in favor of discussing that. And there will be eventually probably other sites in the city. I believe we need 4.5 million gallons total to cover fire flow and the city's needs of storage. So eventually there will be at least one other, possibly two others besides these two that are being designed now. Okay. But those will be off in the future.
Yeah. Is this a similar structure as Dinuba's got over there near the...
Similar, yes.
Similar to that.
I believe theirs is only a 1 million gallon. I believe theirs is only 1 million gallon. Ours will be a 1.5 million 1.5. Gallon, so it'll be a little bit bigger.
Now, and that being said, too, do you know what the height is on the Dinuba Tower?
No, I do not, offhand. My guess would be it's probably fairly close, within 30 feet of what this one will be, I would guess. 30 to 50 feet, say.
Pretty tall.
Yeah, it's pretty tall.
I guess I'll throw this question in here. Not every city has water towers.
No.
So...
But it is a trend that is
okay,
seems to be.
I'm assuming this is a trend and a worthwhile trend and a necessary trend, I guess I would say, and maybe you could talk to that a little bit.
Partly, there are several different aspects to it. One aspect would be, of course, maintaining enough reserve for fire flow in case of an emergency where we have a power outage, a regional power outage. We still need fire flow. We may still need fire flow. These will provide pressures to the system without having physical pumps going on, and it will give us a reserve reservoir of water for a specific period of time. So that would be one thing. The other is, again, for water pressures to help produce better water pressures in the city here. In the north area, we've had several concerns from residents of a very low water pressure out in that area. There is also a component that has to do with homeland security, and that is in case there is some kind of a terrorist attack, we have a water system that is protected and can be utilized in those emergency situations. So those are probably the main components of why most cities are going to water towers. That provides the pressure without having to... Other than pumping the water up to the tank, once it's up there, then it provides the pressure to the system.
On the average home use, are you familiar with what that might be for a typical house in Reedley? And then how long would 1.5 million gallons be able to supply an area? Or how many homes would it service?
Dale, do you happen to have that information off the top of your head?
Not for Reedley, but in the valley, it ranges, you're looking typically at 200 to 300 gallons per capita per day. So you look at maybe three people, typical in the home, or something, you're looking at 600 to 900 gallons per day. Typically, you're looking at storage that will get you through 2 or 3 days. That's ideally what most communities are doing. You need both for fire flow and for outages, power outages. So there's a certain amount of the tank, and I haven't been involved in the details of this particular. Part of it is just reserved up there that's always provided, but you don't operate them. You always keep a certain amount of tanks to provide fire flow. And above that, you provide flow for what the demands of the community would be. Whether it's 1 5 days.
And this one water tower will not get us to that point. It is the first step in getting us to that point of having that 3 to 5 day backup.
The existing tanks you have right now are basically there's hardly any storage.
If you have any more questions, Mr. Melville, he needs to come up to the microphone so we can get that on the record.
Maybe you could talk about current tanks. Will those continue to be used?
That I don't believe that has been determined yet. Under the current design height, they will probably not be able to be used because they would be too high without some modifications. We might be able to put an altitude valve in there that will allow those tanks to be filled. The problem is we got to get about 70 to 80 pounds pressure to pump the water up to the tank that high. Well, if you're going to do that, that one's 194 feet high. These are less than 100 probably. So now you've got that differential there, and if you don't do something with these water towers to limit how much water is going in there, you're going to be overflowing them all the time. So perhaps with some kind of check valve or altitude valve where once the water level in the tank gets to a certain altitude, then it shuts off the valves and it doesn't fill that tank anymore, we might be able to do that. But then there's also the issues of what condition are these tanks in at this point. It's my understanding that it's been quite a while since those tanks have had a really thorough cleaning, so it's hard to say what condition those tanks are in and may need some rehabilitation in order to be able to continue to use them.
Are there viable alternatives to tanks to do the same thing?
To elevated tanks?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. There are. You can put at ground level tanks. You can put below surface buried tanks. The problems with those are essentially they tend to be more maintenance intensive. They tend to cost more. There are other issues that have to do with the water quality in the tank and maintaining that water quality in a tank that's at grade or below grade. But there are a lot of different scenarios that you can use. The big benefit of having an elevated water tower is that if the power goes off, you still got water pressure. If you have a below grade tank or an at grade tank, you have to have a pump pumping that to keep the water pressure up. Once the power goes off, that pump goes down, you lose your water pressure. Whereas with an elevated water tower, once the power goes off, you've still got that hydraulic gradient for providing pressure to the system.
Any Is there any recent laws that are pushing towns like ours into making this type of preparation?
The water quality laws in this state are changing on a daily basis. They have been for many, many years. Are there specific things that are pushing people towards this? No. This is just one of the options that I think most cities are seeing as a viable option. It's expensive, but it serves several purposes, including fire flow, emergency service, and as I said before, there is a component of homeland security to these types of systems.
Yeah, because if you put something just on the ground or underground, you have to have a generator.
You have to have a generator. You have to have that. Then when you get into generators, you start getting into air quality issues that require permits and everything else. Whereas this, you know, it basically pumps it from the well up to the tank, and when the tank's full, then it provides the pressure.
Is there an estimated lifespan of a tank, such as we're talking about? How long have these been up here, David? Your family's been around a long time.
They've been here since I've been here, but that's only 1968. So,
anybody know when those went up? Dale, you know?
I'm not sure when those went up, but with the tank and proper maintenance of it, they can last. It really comes down to the coating on the interior of the tank.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ted, do you know how long those been there? Yeah.
By looking at old pictures and stuff around town, they've been here forever. Mm-hmm. There was one put up first, and then I think one added later.
Okay.
You get drag out that centennial or
historical book.
Your edition the Bud Brocker put out, it's in there, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Thank you for answering those. You got a question. You just thought of it. You just thought of it, didn't you? We're going to let you speak this time.
Two-thirds of my family spoke, so I might as well get up here too and join them. And Victor Santos, live on 19866 East Parlier Avenue. Hate to be the thorn in everybody's hip here. But, you know, I just think that we live right across the street. And we have not received any notices of what's going on that. We were assuming it was still in the planning stages, but I'm assuming if we got a grant tomorrow, this thing is going to be built in 3 months, if we got the grant money tomorrow.
I don't think they've even applied for the grant for those of us.
Well, that's what he just said. He said they're looking for money, and once they get the money, they're building it. Well, so it sounds like it's approved.
That would be after we've gone through the environmental process and incorporated any mitigation.
All the approvals would have to be received.
Yeah, it wouldn't just be we get the money.
I was understanding once you got the money, you're building it, and I like, whoa, when was it approved?
No, it hasn't been approved, and we are still working on the environmental document that is an EIR, a full EIR, so it's a very complicated, very thick document. It will address all of the mitigation necessary, and will address comments made by the any residents in the area, and so it's not a finalized thing. We are looking for funding so that when we do get it done, get through the entire design process and environmental process, that perhaps we can build it, but that is beyond sometime in the future at this point.
Are you folks in the city? Do you live in the city?
We live right across the street in the county.
Okay, that may be the reason. I don't know. The mailing.
They should be noticed on the notice of preparation. For the record, the application before you tonight are for a water tower at the City of Reedley Sports Park.
Yeah.
No action you take tonight is going to have an impact on a potential water tower at Buttonwillow and Parlier Avenue.
Yeah, I realize we'd spread our wings
a little
bit.
So they
there,
understand. We have a notice of preparation is out that everybody within 300 feet of that site should have been notified of. The next step is preparation of a draft environmental impact report that will be available for comment. There will be a comment period for 45 days for that they'll have an opportunity to comment on. If they'd like, they could talk to the city clerk and make sure that there's no discrepancy with address or anything. If they're not getting noticed when they're supposed to be noticed, there may be a mix-up on mail from one direction or another. So the next step is the draft environmental impact report. There's a comment period available for them. and then noticing for Planning Commission review and, if necessary, City Council review. So gotcha. There are several steps along the way where there's a public input opportunity.
And I understand that. I'm basing it on the last meeting I went to where city staff said that once the sports park water tower got built, 3 months after that, the Parlier Button Well was going up. So that's why I'm basing my information from city staff that, okay, you guys are already approving the water tower. That means Button Willow's going up, and we haven't heard any information about it. That's why I'm only mentioning it, because I heard it from city staff. I didn't hear it from the streets. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Commissioners, any questions on these issues on the sports park tank?
You have not closed the public hearing yet.
Didn't I?
No.
Well, I meant to, because I knew I was. The public hearing is closed. I'm sorry. We will close it. I guess I was thinking that. Thank you, though, for your thoughts. Okay, let's look at resolution 2010-3, I believe is the one. Negative declaration. Into this. Am I right, David? I'm looking at the right one.
2010-3?
Yeah. 2010-3. Yeah.
So the funding for that water tower is there already?
Yes. We have an EDA grant to put that
in. Okay, are we ready for some action, or do we have any other questions?
I so move that we accept resolution 2010-3.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Call for the roll call, please.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Cisneros?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Okay. We're going to move to, let's see, Sports Park. Is Kings Parkway restoration still on the agenda?
Item 6 has been removed from the agenda.
Okay, I thought I read that. Number 6 has been removed from the agenda. So actually we'll move on to new business, which is an extension of time for, is it Moria or Estates, tentative subdivision map. But could we have a staff report on that, please?
Yes, this is a request from Moria Estates tentative track map number 5399 at Frankwood Avenue and Olson Avenue. It's for a 46 lot subdivision for single family residential purposes for planned unit development. It's set to expire on February 22nd, 2010. The applicant has submitted a request for extension prior to the expiration, and they're requesting a 2-year extension. Staff's prepared a resolution to approve that extension request and recommends approval. You may recall we've seen a handful of map extensions with the downturn in home construction. There have been no changes to the project or the surrounding area. With the applicant's desire to continue to stick it out and see if they can make the project work in the future, staff's agreeable to giving them that opportunity.
Okay, thank you. We do not need a public hearing on this, do we?
No.
Okay. Okay, commissioners, I think all of you have been around.
Yeah.
We've seen this project moving and stopping and moving and stopping and whatnot over a number of years. Does this cost some money to extend that?
There's an administrative fee for the extension request.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't want it to be big, but it needs to be a little bit there, huh?
I believe it's maybe $500 or $300.
Yeah, okay.
Covers staff time and noticing.
Sure.
Almost.
I don't know if this is the same owner or, but I saw this Moria Estates in the foreclosure paper. It went through I don't know if they're still going through that or he refinanced it or what, but
I believe there's a number of investors and a representative of the current group of owners has submitted this extension request.
Okay.
The entitlement for the map belongs to the property. So whoever controls the property can make that request.
Make that, okay.
You're pretty sharp, Al. You pick up on that stuff, huh?
Well, yeah,
do you read that fine print in the paper every week? Or something?
Not every week.
I get the paper every week now.
Find out if you're in bankruptcy yourself. Okay, any further questions on this? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2010-5.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Cisneros.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Parker.
Yes.
Chairman Nord.
Yes. Okay, all we've got left here is communication and staff report. There's a 2010 Planners Institute. David, you want to, or someone want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yes, the Planners Institute is scheduled for March 24th through March 26th. That's a Wednesday through a Friday in Monterey. We've budgeted for attendance from one commissioner and one staff person. So if you could let Chairman Nord know who might be able to go, and he can make a selection. And Francis can get that scheduled for you if we have somebody that can attend. Would like to have that decision by February 5th so we can get all of the arrangements made.
So Wednesday through a Friday, huh? Okay. All those of you who can consider that, I went to one of these quite a number of years ago now, but they're always interesting. And
oh, yeah.
We wanted to get into a rotation of taking turns year after year. We want to make sure that we get every commissioner
right
to attend at least once. I believe Commissioner Parker, have you been able to attend?
No. Okay. Yeah. I'd have to check my, I think that's testing.
Or poetry and prose. It may be poetry and prose.
We can give you a note.
No, you can't.
Okay, well, look down your calendar.
I'd have to look and see. There's a lot of dates available, but I'll check it and see.
We have a meeting scheduled for the 21st of this month, too. Is that accurate?
I believe we do.
So we can probably talk about that a little bit more at that time. If
I'll check my schedule and see what it's like. I would like to attend something like that. They are helpful.
Yeah. Okay, anything else for the good of the cause? Looks like our little supermarket out there is moving ahead pretty nicely. Saw a nice little article in the paper.
I haven't seen a scheduled opening date, but they've painted the interior, and it looks like they're moving along pretty quickly.
Yeah. So.
And my daughter applied for a job.
Oh, yeah. I read it's all online this time.
Yeah, online. I don't need to see you.
Anything else going on, David? out there in the woods.